Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. I'm Tara Diamond from AMA, and I'm really excited to bring you an episode where we hear firsthand about the experience of a resources company operating in regional Victoria throughout the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. In discussion with Nicole Sweeney, who's the HR manager at Mandalay Resources, you'll hear about the really authentic, genuine person-to-person approaches the business brings to its community and employee engagement. We chat about the wonderful initiatives Mandalay has implemented to give back to the local community and how employees are even further connecting to their local community. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Nicole.
Hey, Tara. Good to talk with you.
Oh, I'm so grateful for you joining us. Before we get into the fabulous things we're going to talk about today, I would love for you to tell us about Mandalay Resources, what it does, how many people it employs, particularly your operations here in Australia.
No problem at all. I'm really ridiculously proud of Mandalay Resources and I love the story that we've got, so more than happy to tell you about it. We're a really small mining operation in regional Victoria. We've got around 220 employees. We have 30 or so long-term contractors with us as well, but they're a part of our family. But as I said, 220 employees. We're a narrow vein underground operation and we mine two ores. One is gold and the other one is antimony. And we're currently the only active antimony mine in Australia. The product that we produce of antimony is a concentrate that gets shipped to China for final processing. And our product is at world's best practice. So it actually gets blended with more inferior product over in China. So we're really proud of what we do here. We're small, we're boutique, but we certainly punch above our weight. In terms of the numbers, we produce this year 67,000 AU equivalents saleable ounces. So the numbers aren't huge, but we are great at what we do. You mentioned Australia. We are a part of a firm based in Canada. We are publicly listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. We have an operation in Sweden and some small interests in Chile. And hopefully in the next 12 months, we'll be looking at purchasing some more assets. But for now, we've just got those two main assets going, which are both going really well, which is fantastic.
I didn't know about your antimony, so that's fabulous. But let's get on to you, because I'd love to know about your background and a little bit about your role at Mandalay.
I'm the HR manager. I've been actually here for about 9.5 years, which seems to have gone really, really quickly. And I suppose that's a good sign. I have an undergraduate degree in HRM, and in 2019 I completed my master's of HRM. So as a grown-up, that was pretty cool to achieve that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was great. So, look, I've done probably around 11 years in mining. So most of that has been at Mandalay. Before that, some work in manufacturing, but also local and state governments. So I've got quite a broad range of experience. But I have to say, for any of the other HR professionals listening, I love this industry. There is so much that's fabulous about it in terms of the diversity of our workforce and just the genuine spirit that certainly is amongst us all. I think it's marvellous. So, yeah, I think I'll stick with mining for a long time yet, Tara.
Oh, hear, hear. Totally agree. And also, everybody's been talking about how amazing Australia's resource and energy industry has been dealing with the very challenging circumstances that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought about for all of us. And we're going to get onto a bit of that in our conversation. I really want to talk to you a lot about the incredible things that you do around community engagement and employee engagement. With that, though, I want to start with some of the brilliant initiatives that you guys have had at Mandalay that you've implemented as part of giving back to your community. But can you give me an overview for people that are listening of where your operations are based in Australia, whether people are residential, whether they're FIFO, drive-in, drive-out? I think that's a good context given that you're based in Victoria, which has had such significant lockdowns.
And you're right. I think that is good context. So we are a residential operation. Majority of our employees live right in this region. So this region really covers Bendigo, Heathcote, which is the small town near us, up to a catchment right up to Echuca, if anyone knows their geography. It's all regionally based. Bendigo being a major regional city nearby, it's a fantastic resource for us. Our workforce, and just more context, I think that's important there, Tara. Our workforce is really stable, and of course that's because we're residential, but we've got quite a low turnover rate. Average tenure is around 4.8 years at the moment, so nice and steady employment. Average age, we've got a fairly young workforce. Average age is 38 years old. We have a lot of people in the getting married, having babies phase, which is we send out lots of flowers and nappy cakes and things to people. But the reason that's important is I like to think of it, and you may recall this, but a million years ago there was a campaign in Ireland called Coming Home to Roost, and that was about people who had left the country to go probably work in London, get lots of wonderful experience, but then return home to put your roots down in your home country. And that's exactly what I like to see here as well, is that we're happy for employees to leave us, go over to the West, get lots of fabulous experience, bring that back to us and settle here. And that's kind of what we see, and that adds to who we are as a dynamic operation that's very committed to this region.
Well, what a fantastic dynamic. And before we do get into the things I want to ask you about community and employee engagement, let's go straight into the challenges of COVID-19 for a resources operation in Victoria. There's a lot of talk about Western Australia and Queensland because of the borders, et cetera. But, you know, the challenges that Victoria has had to navigate has been absolutely incredible. And you would have an absolute unique perspective that you can provide us on how Mandalay has really stepped up and through the pandemic. Would love for you to give us some idea of what some of the really big challenges has been from a workforce perspective in the last 18 months, 2 years.
Absolutely. And look, yes, we have been challenged. There's no doubt about that. And probably if I think about that, there's a few different elements to mention there. First one, from a HR perspective, restrictions in terms of candidates. Really important for me in my recruitment process is to have people come to site. And typically that is a luxury that we can afford here, that people come and meet us face-to-face to feel what we have here and, you know, to go down the hole, see what it's like, see if they're comfortable. And this pandemic has meant that in many cases I had to look at candidates without that magic of a site visit. That was really, really challenging. And occasionally we did actually make decisions and go, look, you know, we haven't seen you, we haven't met you, but we're going to just back ourselves and employ you. So that has worked, but that's not the space that we prefer to be in. But that was important in terms of our own agility and how we needed to adapt in these crazy situations. One thing I want to mention, Tara, very briefly, is the impact of a positive case in the local community. And because we're a small operation, it is very personal here. We know each other. The kids going to the same school, that sort of stuff. So. Right. We did actually have one of our families had a member of their family was positive. They passed that on to their other family members. Fortunately, the employee wasn't positive on site, so we knew the risk here was very low. However, and this is the reality of small towns, as we all know, word got out very quickly about that. And then what we saw was our car park emptying because other families in the area knew their kids had travelled on the same bus as the kids from that family. And so that panic, if you like, impacted us directly through just that, you know, concern about what if. Now, that was in the early COVID, but it just showed to us how quickly in a small community it can have a direct impact on operations. We're faster and better now in that space. We've had a number of close contacts with COVID. Fortunately, no people sharing the illness here, which is a very big relief for us. But nonetheless, we see the impact of when people have to go home and isolate until they get their second negative test. So that reduces the number of people on site, but fortunately not in big numbers. So we have been okay in that space. The other thing I probably just wanted to mention there, what has the impact been? And this is a really positive thing. This is so simple, But my goodness, it's made such an amazing change for us. Very early in the piece, we put in hand washing stations at every entry to our operation. And every person now, as they arrive at site, need to wash their hands. It's simple, but it's actually decreased significantly the amount of illness that we've seen on site. You know, if your operations out there not doing that, I highly recommend it. It's made a massive difference to us. Who knew all those health professionals telling us it actually makes sense?
I know. And then we've all become so used to it that, you know, mask wearing and hand washing and social distancing, and it gets to the point where everybody, it's just become normal. But yes, that's something that we've seen report in the media in terms of the number of flus, particularly last winter. But isn't that incredible that you've seen that positive impact directly at your site?
Directly and clearly, absolutely. It's been astounding, yeah.
You talked about getting faster and getting better at doing a lot of these things. What are some of the learnings that you think will have some long-term application for your operations?
One of the biggest one for us is, as a leadership group, is that we don't have to be perfect. Someone said this saying to me probably about 18 months ago, this is my first pandemic too.
And yes, we need a badge. That is a T-shirt or a badge.
And we've just got to keep changing. And believe me, sometimes in Victoria, this has been a daily thing of, oh, there's a new change. There's a new rule that we've got to comply with. So our agility in that space, we're pretty agile anyway. We have a dynamic environment here. And as a leadership group, we work very well together. But we had to really back ourselves, if you like, and say, you know what, this current COVID plan is not going to be perfect, but we've got to get it in place right now to give the best protection that we can to everyone on site. And so we just had to keep review, challenge, change, implement, and just keep that going over and over again. And I think that's been one of our biggest changes that we've seen, is that, you know, we back ourselves more in that space now, which is fabulous.
Oh, that's a fantastic point and to share. And I think we need to get some T-shirts made. But let's talk about how Mandalay engages and gives back to the community with that fantastic context you gave us about your operations and where people are residentially, but especially through COVID-19. Would love to know a little bit of background around Mandalay's overarching strategy and approach to community engagement.
Great. So our approach overall is really about direct support within, firstly, our really local community. So our operation is nestled literally within sheep farms, big paddocks of crops and things like that. So we are very, very conscious of our presence and impact on the local farming community. Our first approach is always about how do we support that community best, but how do we also engage them in what we're doing? Like any mining operation, we have learnt from, you know, years ago, how perhaps previous owners of this operation didn't really appreciate and respect the importance of connection with your local community. So we've worked really hard in that space, and we've come to some really good points now. So broader than that then, what's our overall approach? It's about then how can we best support the bigger communities around us? So that's Heathcote, the town nearby, right through to Bendigo being the regional city nearby. And we do that in a multi-pronged approach. Big points are, I suppose, that we purchase as much locally as we can. And that doesn't mean necessarily it's the cheapest, but that's okay, because we see the value of that is not just the dollar amount. It's actually that we're supporting our communities. I employ as many local people as I can. We have a very important strategic approach here in terms of workforce, and that is that we invest as much as we can within our own people. I actually had a conversation with the manager yesterday about, you know, graduates versus bringing in very experienced people. There's no absolute there, but we aim for a blend to really grow people as much as we can. Doesn't matter what point they're coming in their career cycle. But for our operators, we often bring in entry-level operators, and I will do as much as I can to get those people from the local community so that they have that opportunity to work here, to earn good money here, and stay within their community.
Mm.
The other part of that strategic approach for us, Tara, is to be the quiet achiever, if you like. We like to fly under the radar very purposely, because we just think we get more genuine connection and engagement with our community if we're doing things quietly in the background. We have seen that has led to higher levels of engagement and has worked very well for us. We put a lot of time and effort into tiny little things to support our local community. Our community liaison officers, for example, they will coordinate for a load of wood to be delivered to one of our elderly neighbours who, you know, is having a rough time through winter. We will go round and water pot plants for people. I know that's an easy thing to think about, but, you know, this is the stuff that that does cause very positive waves within the community to know that we're not just here to rip dirt out of the ground, but we're actually here to support this community. We also do that through a number of reference groups that we engage for overall environmental reasons, for community reasons, and also for funding grants. All of those groups, we engage local people to be involved in those groups and committees, and we genuinely consult with them. A positive way to maintain that engagement over time. That also gives us the opportunity to raise awareness and to educate people about what we do here, how we respond to government agencies, requirements, regulations, etc. It's good to have people understanding that.
Absolutely. And I'm so curious, it sounds like you've got a really fascinating approach in terms of the way that you like to go about things authentically and directly, opposed to big song and dance about things. But did you have to change that at all through the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of, you know, your strategy and the way that you saw that support would be best provided to your local communities?
Yes, we did have to adjust and change during COVID, and that may come up again. That's just our norm at the moment. And I think where we saw that most, Tara, was probably not being able to be face-to-face with our community. It was rather about remote support. I think that had an impact on us because we felt that we couldn't support our community as we had previously, but also for our neighbours themselves. For us, it was important to ensure that they still got the support that they needed. So I think that was challenging, but overall, we have continued to maintain positive levels of support where people need it.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear if you've got any examples of recent community programs or initiatives that you've implemented, either things that you've had to do remotely via technology or just over the phone, or, you know, anything that you think would give us a picture of what kind of work it is that you've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one example, and it's tiny, you know, and this is not about dollars, but this is the stuff that we do. So the Heathcote Hospital, small regional hospital, contacted us recently and said, hey, you know what, we want to do a thank you to our staff. They have done such an awesome job during COVID, and we just want to acknowledge the work that they have done. So myself and one of their executives came up with an idea. So my general manager went around to a number of crews on site at shift start and took photos of our operators holding up signs saying thank you. You know, that's so simple, but to us that's important to do because we want to show that, of course, we value what's in our local community, but we're people and, you know, here we are. So tiny things, but that's the stuff that we do really well. The other one I want to talk about in a bit of detail with you, Tara, that we are just so proud of is our support small local business campaign. Mm-hmm. So that's directly about putting money into the communities that our employees live in. So we've recognised in Victoria just how badly small businesses have been slammed.
Yeah.
With closure after closure after closure. And so we thought, well, you know what, how can we support these businesses? So even while businesses were still closed down, we implemented a program. We gave each employee $250 to spend and said, please go and spend this money in your local area on a small business. So this wasn't about supporting the big conglomerates. This was about that local cafe that can only do takeaway at the moment, or that little nursery that's still able to sell some plants. Of course, in Heathcote, we're known for Shiraz.
Do you think you were keeping the Shiraz production going, were you, through the pandemic?
Yeah. I do understand that we did help some wineries to survive, so that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's, you know, that's such a small thing that we did. So we pumped around, at the moment it's up at around $40,000. We can even say that's not a huge amount of money, but for those small businesses, just maybe it made a difference to them. So that sort of community support, again, we're flying under the radar. We're not putting out massive banners about that, but it's about real and genuine support for people, and we're incredibly proud of how that went.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you said it's small, but $250 per employee, that's still sizable in terms of the impact that you would have had on the small businesses in your community. And what I would imagine, if you go about it in a quiet way and don't make a big song and dance about it, people would find out, and the goodwill that would come from that would just be incredible, Nicole.
It really has been. So I was speaking to a hairdresser in town in Heathgate recently, and she said she's actually had some of her clients come in and say, could you just put $250 against my name, that'll be my credit, and every time I come in to have a haircut, can you just take a bit off it?
Very significant for that hairdresser.
It really is. And, you know, to get those sort of stories back is just magic.
Magic.
We've heard of other people going into the local butcher and just buying up and then filling up their freezers. So, you know, that's just fantastic stuff that we're so proud to do it in our local community.
Oh, I'm so impressed with that. And no wonder you absolutely love your job and the work that you do. And the reason why that example that you've just given us that is such a fabulous reason to be proud of Mandalay Resources, it's because our industry is very characterized by process and measuring things, etc. So it's not unusual, but these sorts of things that have intangible measurements is often more difficult in our industry. Can you tell us about how you measure community engagement success? Because it isn't always tangible.
Absolutely. And it does make it hard because you're right, it's not tangible. So the stuff that we rely on then is, or lean on in a lot of way, is direct connection back to Mandalay. So, for example, we have a low turnover rate. We have high retention here. And a part of the value proposition that is known, not only us with our employees, but in the broader community, is a good employer. And that's something that I am incredibly proud of. And so by directly adding to that value proposition, it means that we are more attractive potentially to candidates who want to come here because they know that we're a good place to work. Broader than that, in this community and in the Bendigo community, we see that engagement and connection with Mandalay, and that's the positive for us. What we see is, you know, our efforts, for example, in going to speak at small events, you know, a school might ask us to come and talk about working in the mining industry, for example. That stuff, again, creates that connection. And again, that's small and it's under the radar, but it does make a difference.
So, Nicole, you touched on a couple of things that indicated your people are doing all different types of work in the community, but I'd love to know your plans or your strategy around the type of works you do in relation to charitable works.
We do a lot in that space, Tara, and this is something that I think is so valuable for us as a workforce or community, as well as the recipients of our work. It brings us together as a community and gives us the opportunity to current generations that don't have that connection that perhaps Gen X and before had in terms of that sense of community through a club or a group or a church or what have you. And so what I know from research, of course, and study is that contributing to a community through charitable events is a very satisfying way of feeling a part of a group. And so we've had a lot of success with that. And again, this is about our connection as a small operation. We have done direct fundraising for a special needs school for one of our employees' families. So through them, we heard they really needed some help with some money for very specialised equipment. And the majority of people here were mums and dads. And we've got our own kids or we nieces and nephews, etc. So I think as a community, we all connected with the idea that we need to support small operations such as little schools. And so the generosity of our workforce blew me away. We were able to present to that school a cheque for just under $10,000 in a really small amount of time.
Wow.
So it's really, really proud about that. And I know that every average operator was also really proud of it. It was a wonderful thing to do. Look, we do lots of other things. One particular I'd love to mention to you is it's a national charity called Share the Dignity. You may know of it.
Yes.
And times a year they do drives to collect sanitary items for women in shelters or in homelessness. We have a really good uptake with that. And at the moment, my meeting room next door is jam-packed with bags that are packed with personal hygiene items, with shampoo, body wash, you name it, it's in there, as well as little Christmas gifts to give to women in this local area who are in shelters or are homeless. And so, again, that's a simple thing that you know, our employees will bring stuff in and we put all these bags together. And I'm so proud that as a small operation, we're making a direct impact into our community. I just love that. And, you know, we get such good feedback from our employees here about how important that is for them as locals. The challenge, though, Tara, is to find, and I've put this very recently to my teams, find me a male equivalent of a charity. Share the Dignity is a brilliant campaign. It is so simple. It's wonderful. But I want to find the male equivalent of that. And we're all sort of scratching our heads. But I hope that that someone on our teams will come up with some clever ideas. Because, again, I think as human beings, you know, there's that wonderful element of compassion that we all have and that connection into the stories of others that might need help. And our community here is generous in spirit in that way. So I'm really proud that we can try and harness that and contribute to our communities in such an easy and positive way.
Yeah, I really love this approach. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing probably just a small snippet of the incredible things that you do with your local communities. It really strikes me that there's no one big silver bullet that does all things to all people. And I really admire the way that you do and describe that you do what you would say as little things, but really contribute to the value in the community and the connection between Mandalay, the people that work with you, and the wider community in which you live and operate in. I'd like to talk about a different community now, which is your employees and your workforce. We just talked about being recognised as a great employer in terms of the attraction of people, et cetera. But would love to know any initiatives that you've had within your workforce around employee engagement and how you've really worked to increase that employee value position within your people.
The mind sort of boggles a little bit, you know, to try and get my head around what things I want to talk about here, because this is a great space for me to play in. So at a really fundamental level, we offer things like a night shift self-drive bus for our underground operators. So as a crew, they can all drive together into Bendigo and go to their cars and drive home. The reason we do that is purely about fatigue management. Yes, there is one person from crew driving the bus, but that's shared amongst the crew, et cetera. Cost for the employees is they chip in a bit for petrol, but we pay for everything else. So it's reducing the risk on our roads. We have really high population of kangaroos here. And for Victoria, we're the highest hit tally, if you like. That's terrible. In terms of insurance claims out here, so it is high risk. So putting a bus in place, such a simple thing, but it's really made a change to people's safety driving home and coming to work, which is a great thing.
But wouldn't it also drive camaraderie and that de-stressing from leaving work and all the different kinds of intangible things it would have from not being in your work environment but being with your work crew?
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of power in that. The other space that I see that playing out in, Tara, is our day bus, if you like. Now, that's typically for our surface-based engineers, some of the GOs, et cetera. And what we find is that people from different areas of the business who use that bus establish fantastic relationships. So, you know, those friendships across work groups happen as a result of just travelling on that bus together. We've seen that be a really positive impact as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can you tell me how what you do with your employees in terms of your approach and the programs you run, how has that changed during the pandemic? When we first started, you talked a little bit about having to do things remotely and sorts of changes, but what kind of things has come up through the pandemic that you've really had to adjust?
I think a part of that is, well, certainly creating a balance, and this is for surface staff, not for operators underground or at our processing plant, but for a number of our surface employees, we had to look at better ways to allow them that flexibility to work from home, but also to contribute to what we do here. And I've got to say, that was a really challenging space for us. I think we've had some really positive outcomes, but we've had a lot of learnings along the way. To me, that is about the strength of our agility to really change in that space. And for a lot of people, that's been a huge benefit. We're not unique in that, I know that, but I think a part of that does contribute to that value proposition overall. I think the other things I'd probably like to mention there, Tara, would be the space around vaccines themselves. So, as you know, Victoria, there's a vaccination mandate in place. Now, we actually put all of this in place before the mandate came about. We didn't know it was coming up. So we identified for ourselves that we wanted to know what percentage of our workforce were vaccinated, how many did we need to have vaccinated in order to feel some level of comfort. So we put in place, just like the government did, 4 hours of paid leave for each vaccination appointment. Look, it's a simple thing, but it made a difference. A $50 gift voucher for every person who got their double vax. Tiny little thing like that made a difference. And what we found was that people were happily bringing in their evidence of their vaccinations. So we actually kept a really solid tally of where we're up to. And that was valued as a simple little gesture.
And I bet you it helped you immensely when the mandate did come down, because you'd already been doing that work.
Yeah, look, it was pretty quick for us to pull that data together and know where we sat straight away. It was worthwhile in so many ways, which was fantastic. In terms of other opportunities, I suppose that what we do here, Tara, is look to expand people's skill set and experience into areas that they're interested in. For example, a number of our professional employees, we offer them opportunities to go and speak at schools, for example, to promote not only careers in mining, but also to be mentors for aspiring professionals. Well, it's certainly been challenging during COVID, I have to say.
I bet.
Remote presentations and support is not as effective as face-to-face, but nonetheless, we've continued to grow in that space. And, you know, we see rock stars coming out of that, people that you don't realise will be absolutely dynamic in terms of presenting. So it's wonderful to see, a really big positive for us.
Let's now talk about your people and kind of culture strategy in terms of your approach to attracting and retaining the workforce that you need. It really struck me at the beginning in terms of the info you gave us about the age demographic, which is quite a bit lower than the average for the rest of Australia, but also in terms of the tenure. So what kind of overarching strategy do you have in terms of being able to make sure that in a regional area you are able to attract and retain the people the operation needs?
How do we position ourselves? I think it's about understanding our cohort. And as I said before, you know, I can rattle off those stats. But the important thing for me is, how do we keep young families here? We're residential. The salaries and wage rates in WA, I can't and I won't compete with those. So what else is it that I offer? I think it's stuff around a very big family focus. We offer flexibility wherever we can, that, you know, if you need to go and take your child to a doctor's appointment, we'll absolutely support you in doing that. So we do that as much as we can. I acknowledge that's a bit more difficult with operators who are on continuous shift, but as many of our employees as possible, we offer that mature employment relationship where things are outcome driven rather than just by the clock. And what we find is typically that works beautifully as a two-way street. Once people get it in their minds, it's a pretty valuable thing to offer. What else do we offer? So again, it's not about the money, but we offer support in childcare. We offer heavily subsidised childcare, which is in Heathgate. So again, we're, you know, supporting a local community in childcare. So and in fact, we contributed significantly to the total build of that centre. So again, that's that quiet stuff that we do.
So fundamental to be able to attract families.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. So that was a really worthwhile investment for us, right down to us getting down on our hands and knees and helping with the landscaping. So a pretty pretty good level of involvement for us. But we do see our local employee families using that service, and we're really happy about that. So our value add is really around that other stuff that we can do. And a part of that also is that retention that we have here. There's a real sense of empowerment, engagement and family that comes with Mandalay. So many people will comment, even the first time they come to site, that they can really feel the positive culture we have here. That goes right down to genuinely caring for each other in tough times. So we've seen some wonderful events where employees have driven for themselves fundraising to help a local Mandalay family out, as well as contribution from the company. So that says to me that, you know, we're all invested in looking after each other. So I think a part of that low turnover that we see is about what we offer here, and it's stability. It's a challenging environment. We ensure that our people are offered opportunities to learn and to grow, and that is absolutely returned to us tenfold in terms of that stable and loyal workforce.
Well, now, wonder when we started this conversation, you were so brimming with pride with the work that, you know, you were able to do, the work that Mandalay does. And I just really want to touch on a point you just made around, I think you termed it about as a mature employee relationship, you know, that two-way street, not just about the clock. It strikes me that if that's what you would have had in place, that's what's fast forwarded for a lot of organizations through the pandemic. And just like we were talking about the vaccine, you know, notifications, et cetera, I would imagine that that would have held you in such good stead with that trust and that relationship between everybody at Mandalay.
I really think so, Tara. I think that that's been a very important point for us. And as I said before, you know, we had to look at turning upside down some of the ways that we do our work. Mm. People now working from home, for example, and we hadn't opened our minds to that before the pandemic. So that was a great opportunity. And I think, and look, it wasn't a success for everyone, but for the majority of people, a part of that being a success was having that open, trusting, empowered approach to saying, sure, you can work from home. We didn't audit that, or we didn't audit it at all. In fact, we just expected people to be their professional selves and provide the outcomes that's the deal with their employment relationship. And in majority of cases, as I said, that worked really, really well. I think that maturity of relationship is so important that it is fundamental. And that for us comes from those basic values around trusting people that we have here, and it works very well.
This point really brings me to a final question I have, which is, have you been able to turn your attention to what's next in terms of your engagement, the focus with your people and your community? What's coming up for Mandalay?
That's a tricky question.
Crystal ball time.
Yeah. What's next? I think it's about identifying what we do as a group that adds more value. And I suppose one of the things there for me is my goal is to always increase the number of women who are working in positions. Recently had one of our female operators be awarded as Operator of the Year in Victoria.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yeah, we're very proud of Elizabeth. Those examples are what I want to inspire others with, to say, you know, this is who we are. We want you to grow and we're right there with you. We've got your back. So that's the focus for us in terms of our people. In terms of our community, we are going strong with that connection. And, I see no reason why that won't continue into the future.
Wow, fantastic. And Nicole, thank you so much for taking us on what's a real journey of Mandalay's approach and culture to all things, the community and your people and your operations. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us on Resource People Podcast today.
Absolute pleasure to talk with you, Tara.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Resource People Podcast. I'm sure you'll agree Mandalay should be commended for its grassroots and very valuable community and employee engagement campaigns. Hope you enjoyed the episode and look forward to you joining us next time on Resource People Podcast.
AMRA acknowledges and pays respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which the Resource People Podcast was recorded from today, both the Turrbal and Yugara people. AMRA acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which you are living, learning and listening to this podcast from today. We pay our respects to elders both past, present, and emerging.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@amma.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.